Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Every 4 years, VIPs and wannabes flock to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of the President of the United States. It's a time when money and power and politics all come together for a big celebration. One of the highlights of the inauguration is the inaugural parade. The President and Vice President make their way down Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House, where they sit and view the rest of the parade. The parade is symbolic of the most powerful person in the world coming to town and going to work. Jesus' inauguration was quite different. His took place in obscurity. He came to the Jordan River to be baptized, and it was only John the Baptist who recognized Jesus as the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. But it didn't take long for Jesus to go from obscurity to popularity. It seemed as if he led a parade of sorts throughout the region, going from Judea all the way up to Galilee, and then turning back south as Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. All types of people, VIPs and wannabes, would come and go. Some of those who believed, some of those who thought that Jesus was just a traveling magic show, and the others who wanted to arrest him and put him to death. And after 3 years of preaching and teaching and performing miracles, Jesus' earthly ministry was about to reach its climax. He entered Jerusalem to complete his work for which he became incarnate. That was to suffer and die for all mankind. On that Palm Sunday, the holy city was full of Jewish pilgrims who were arriving to celebrate the coming Passover. They were bringing their sacrifices to town and their offerings. And when they heard that Jesus was coming, those who had heard to him, they crowded out to the road and they flooded the road with palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." It was an entrance fit for a king. Except Jesus didn't look like your average king. A king would have entered the city on a great stallion. Jesus enters the city humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Few, if any, of those people who lined the street knew that this man seated on the donkey is actually the Messiah sent from God, the very Son of God in the flesh of man. Little did they know that this man on the donkey is God's anointed warrior who has come to single-handedly battle sin, death, and the devil. Little did they know that in 5 short days they would be attending Jesus' new inauguration, a new covenant in Jesus' blood. King Jesus came into Jerusalem to offer himself as the true Passover lamb. He would offer himself on the altar of the cross to take away the sins of the world. Well, like Jesus' very own disciples, those who watched him enter, even if they did know, they wouldn't fully understand. You and I have the advantage of 20/20 hindsight. But even still, we all have those days when we doubt. And we have weak faith. It's the old evil foe who planted a seed of doubt in the Garden of Eden, who comes daily into your life and mine, planting seeds of unbelief and doubt amongst us. The devil in the world would wish that you would believe in yourself, believe that you're basically a good person worthy of eternal life. They would hope that the glory that comes from man, that you would enjoy that more than the glory that comes from God. They want you to trust in philosophy and human wisdom, and that your happiness and your life and comfort are more important than Christ in your life. At the bare minimum, Satan begins tempting you to avoid being fed and nourished in word and sacrament. It's that same serpent that slithered into the garden who continues to slither between you and the cross of Jesus, hoping to cut you off. He'll threaten you with trials and tribulations and with pain and even death, anything and everything, to get you to doubt that salvation comes through Christ dying on the cross for your sin. He wants to drive you away from the true faith. As Jesus paraded down the street covered with palms, little did Satan know that Jesus had come to town to sow his own seed. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." We don't give too much thought to seed, but a seed remains a lonely seed unless it's planted into the ground. Every spring, farmers and gardeners alike plant seeds in the ground and leave them there with the faith that, God willing, it'll produce a crop. It's by the miraculous will of God that one grain of wheat can produce many grains of wheat by which God feeds the entire world. Jesus declares that he is that grain of wheat, and he would be planted. And by his death, a harvest of the dead in Christ would be raised up to eternal life. St. Paul calls the risen Jesus the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And on the last day, he will raise all who have died in Christ to eternal life. No other human being has ever produced by dying, produced fruit by dying. And while Jesus is fully man, he is also fully God. It is by his innocent suffering and death that he has brought forth and continues to bring forth a bountiful crop of believers. In all those believers, one day he will raise to eternal life. And this is why Jesus left the glory of heaven. He came to be lifted up from the earth on the altar of the cross. It was the Father's will. You see, God is a God of justice. The wages of sin is death, and God demands blood. God demands death for the punishment of sin, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So it was on the cross that Jesus poured out his blood, cutting a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. In our text, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." Indeed, Jesus would be judged. He would be proclaimed a criminal by a phony trial and put to death for what they perceived was his sin. But in reality, it was necessary that Jesus went to the cross and suffer God's judgment for all mankind for all time. God's judgment for sin. And as the sun began to go down on that Good Friday, Jesus' lifeless and dead body was taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. The seed had been planted. His work was complete. The Lamb of God went uncomplaining forth. The guilt of sinners bearing, he went to slaughter without complaint. His spotless life to offer. It was Jesus' perfect sacrifice, offered in complete submission to the Father's will. And by this, his new covenant replaces all previous sacrifices and Passover offerings. Christ Jesus is the Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Now, some people might ask, well, how do we know that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient? How do we know that God accepted that sacrifice? It goes back to that seed that was planted in the tomb. You see, we know God accepted his sacrifice because the tomb is empty. God accepted Christ Jesus' sacrifice by raising him from the dead, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. Death had no hold over him. At that point, death and the devil had been defeated. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Our blessed Lamb of God went uncomplaining forth, bearing the sins and the guilt of all mankind. While Jesus made atonement for the whole world, unfortunately, not everyone in the world will be going to heaven. While Jesus draws all people to him by the cross, there are many who will reject his free gift of grace and salvation. And that's why we gather around Word and Sacrament. This is where Jesus feeds you. This is where he nurtures your faith and strengthens your faith. And by his means of grace, you are sanctified and kept in the true faith. Unless Jesus returns really soon, your body will die and fall into the ground, just like that original seed that was planted in the tomb. But you have Jesus' promise. He will come again to raise all who believe in him into everlasting life. So this morning, come and feast on his new covenant, the covenant of the Passover Lamb in his body and blood. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.